you, Mark. Good morning, everybody. Now, some of you are probably thinking, because I made an agreement that I was going to only preach over the readings this week, and or the readings of previous week, and these are, you can look from the readings of this week, we're in Ezekiel and Acts. So, why did I have Mark read a very long passage out of the Gospel of Matthew? And that is because this week, at the beginning of the week, I resolved to preach out of Acts chapter 2. I'm like, everyone likes Acts chapter 2. It kind of goes hand in hand with John 3, so because the two most often remembered verses in the Bible come from John 3:16 and Acts chapter 2:38. But then I was reading through Ezekiel, and I got caught in four verses in the book of Ezekiel, and that completely threw my plan through a loop. And as soon as I read it, I thought of this parable that we just read. I'm like, you know what? This is a better message this week. This is where God wants me to be. And that's where we're going to study today. So before we get into that, let's go to Him in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank You for our blessings. We thank You for our time, this fellowship and worship You, Lord. Most importantly, we thank You for Your Son who died on the cross that we may have forgiveness of His sins and that we may continue to seek His will in heaven. Be with us as we continue our worship today. In Your most Heavenly name we pray. Amen. The reason I read that particular passage, I thought of this question that I hear a lot in the Sucheki household. This statement I hear a lot in the Sucheki household, almost always coming from the younger two Suchekis. And if you have children, you've probably heard this expression quite a bit too. And it is this: it's not fair. How many of you have ever heard your children say this? How many of you have ever said this yourself? So I thought, I have a lot of good examples from this, but today I'm going to give my kids a break, because my mother told me a long time ago about a story I said to her, a time that I said to her, it's not fair. In fact, that example kind of changed a lot of my outlook on a very particular thing. This is me and my siblings growing up. I'm the cute one. This is me, and this is me, and this is my sister, and she's older, and my younger brother, so I'm the middle child. And there are times in my life growing up that I thought things weren't fair. For example, out of the three of us, I am the only one that's left-handed. That's not really a thing that's fair, but if you're left-handed, you know the struggles of being left-handed, right? The world kind of caters towards the right-handed people. But also, when I was in high school, did you guys ever hear that organization called Who's Who? It's given to high school students. My brother and my sister were both accepted into that. Not me. Didn't seem fair. But mostly, the thing I was talking about that really stuck with me, that my mom told me about later, was I didn't think birthdays were fair. Now, you might think, okay, well, that's a strange thing. But my sister was born on November 26, 1981. That was Thanksgiving Day. My mom got a turkey. It was interesting. My birthday is 2 weeks and 2 days later. Now, it's not the fact that my birthday is not too far after hers, but my brother, who is 2 years younger than me, was born on the exact same day as my sister. So they are exactly to the day 4 years apart. And so growing up, or at least the first part of growing up, on their birthday, they got presents. Who didn't get presents? I didn't get presents. That doesn't seem fair, right? No, at least I didn't understand it was fair. So we decided that on Thanksgiving Day, we would always celebrate all three of our birthdays. Because mine's pretty close after that. Mine's exactly 4 weeks from today. So you guys remember 4 weeks, you can bring me presents, it'll be great. But it kind of illustrates the problem of what we think about when we think of fairness. Like, with that, there was details I was too young to perceive, or I essentially failed to see the bigger picture. And this is one of the few reasons that we think things We miss details. We confuse fairness with bias. They got presents and I didn't, so I want presents, and for me to have presents, that must mean things are fair. Sometimes we see things that work for others but don't work for us, and so we don't think those things are fair. Or some things are not fair. But when I was reading this passage in Ezekiel, this is what God says to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33:17 through 21. It says, "Yet you people say the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from the righteous and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by this. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each one of you according to his ways." And so this verse illustrates the whole reason I decided to have that passage read in Matthew, is that what we understand is fair is not necessarily what God thinks is fair, because we do not have the same standards as God. This isn't even a new concept. We see this all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible. Satan tried to deceive Eve, and he tried to deceive her in a way by saying, "It's not fair that you don't get to eat from this one particular tree. Yeah, you can, of course you can have all the other ones, but not this one. And because you can't have that one, it's not fair." Or even Abraham's conversation to God, where he's interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the good?" Or maybe you've heard, how many of you have heard this phrase? "Why would a God of love allow bad things to happen to good people?" Thank you, Mary Joy. Bad things to happen to good people, or good things to happen to bad people. It's just, everybody has this perception of what's not fair, and it bothers them. And it bothers them for mostly, I think, two reasons. And the first one is that we are terrible at forgiveness. Forgiveness for other people. Yes, please give me forgiveness. Please, God, I may deserve my punishment. I may deserve my suffering. But please give me forgiveness. But no, not those people. They need to suffer at least a little bit. Or I want my pound of flesh. This guy, Chuck Smith, he's a Bible scholar. He has a really good website for breaking down scripture called the Blue Letter Bible. I suggest you guys check it out. But when talking about the ideas of good and evil, he kind of had this to say. He says, "God has declared that if a wicked man doomed to die would turn from his sin and do that which was lawful and right and began to walk in the statutes of life, he would live and not die. None of his past sins would be mentioned to him." And then he goes on to say, "That's none of our business. That is between him and God." And it is, if God can forgive him, it is our responsibility to also forgive him. But we're just terrible at forgiveness. And the other reason it bothers people is because, and this is the thing that I struggle with, is that we want that objective standard. But we know that if there was an objective standard, we would never meet it. In fact, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God." Do you know why he uses this? We don't look at the scribes and Pharisees as good people, mostly because of the New Testament. But he uses this phrase because the people he was talking to thought that they were the objective standard. And he's telling them that even the best of the best, or at least the best of the best in their minds, cannot do it, because their standard is built, one, on their own definition of righteousness, and two, on outward works. But none of that is going to get them into heaven. And so when we get to this kind of mentality, it leads us to that parable that Mark just read, and we say, that's unfair. And so we have two different types of people in this parable. And the first one is the people who work less than the full shift, especially those people who only had to work 1 hour. Wouldn't that be great? You work 1 hour a day, you get the whole day's wage. I want to work for this guy. But they said he is both fair and generous. But the other people, the people that have worked the whole day, no, he is not fair. He is stingy. But nowhere in that story did the master not give exactly what he promised. He said, you agreed to this. You agreed to work 12 hours for one denarius. How did I cheat you? How is that in any way unfair? It's not. And that's what Jesus is illustrating here, because we want to look at this story, want to say it's not fair because they both work different hours for the exact same amount of pay. But when we apply those standards, we run into these problems. The first one is that by the world standard, you can be a good, you can be an ethical, you can be a moral, honest person with integrity. You could be the best person in the world by the world standards. But if you don't have God, you are going to hell. And we do not like that. Or, on the other side of that, you could be the worst person in all of history. Think of all the worst people in history. Hitler almost always comes to the top. Stalin, Mao. Who? Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Whoever they are, but if they had accepted Jesus, they would get to go to heaven. And maybe some of them did. I don't know. I don't know enough about their history to make that claim. We all like to think that we are the workers who worked for 12 hours, but the reality is that we are almost always all the 11th hour workers, because nothing we can do will merit our salvation into heaven. No good work is ever going to get us there. The only standard is Jesus. So while in the context of Ezekiel, he's talking about justice, I can confidently say that our God is just. But remember, I plan to do Acts chapter 2. So I was thinking about Acts chapter 2 in the context of, is God fair? How many people would you say, is God fair? He's just? He's definitely just. I can definitely with confidence say God is just. But I don't know if he's fair. And bear with me for a second, you'll see what I mean. So we go back to Luke chapter 2. Luke is, he's just talked about Jesus ascending into heaven in chapter 1. And they were told to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. They didn't have to wait long. They only had to wait 10 days. So that's pretty good. And then when after 10 days it said, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it was filled the entire house where they were sitting, and the divided tongues as fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. So we have this chaos going on in the house, and all of a sudden everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit. And the way that manifested inside of them was they could all speak their own language and everyone would be able to understand it. So I'm speaking English, you're speaking Spanish, Hebrew, whatever. And I can understand you even though I don't know those languages at all. And some people thought this was amazing. And some people thought this was disbelief, and I think I would probably be in that disbelief category of, I've seen this kind of thing before that normally happens when people are drunk, and it's not surprising that they thought he was drunk, and he's like, okay, well, yeah, understand, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, nobody here is drunk, but I need you to listen to what I have to say, because I have something very, very important he has to say. I have to say. And he says, God gave us a gift. And it is the most wonderful and amazing and powerful and the best gift at all time in all of creation. and it was wrapped in the prettiest wrapping and bow, and it was sent into the most unlikely place. And you killed it. Do you know why we don't give a Ming vase to a three-year-old? Or apparently to me, because I just throw things. Yeah, if you guys missed it this morning, I just threw my coffee all over stage. It's because they break it. But that's exactly what these people did. This is exactly what we did was because we, in their case, they physically did it. But through sin, we killed this gift. And because of that, we deserve death. You know the interesting thing about when faced with what you deserve, there's only two possible outcomes to that. Two possible ones. One, you can accept it. You can die and be dead to your sin, or you can ask for God to be unfair. And that's what Peter wants them to do, is Peter wants them to ask God to be unfair. And in this instance, God was not fair, because God did not give us what we deserve, but instead God continued to push the gift forward that we can repent and be baptized and receive God's grace. Not just me, not just you, the best of us, the worst of us, everyone throughout all of time, all of history will now have this opportunity to experience God's gift, because in this moment He chose to be unfair. And everyone should respond to that gift in a positive way. And it said 3,000 people that day were saved. But not all who heard decided to be saved. We are very fortunate that here that God is unfair. Because if we tried to rely on the standard of righteousness, we would never get there. What's the standard of righteousness? Christ. It's what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians. And because of Him who you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ is that standard, and we will never ever rise to that standard. Which is why the only thing we can ask for God in this moment is to be unfair. Our standards are not the same as God's. And fortunately, or maybe if you're not on the other side of that, unfortunately, you want to be judged by the standard that He set. And that is the justice He's given us by paying the price through Christ's blood. God does not give us what we deserve. Instead, He offers us life as opposed to death. And it is so great, and it works so powerful that when some people ask, how long does this possibly take? And the only response I have to that is, how long does it take you to ask? How long does it take you to get off your feet and say, God, I want you to be unfair and save me and offer me that grace and forgiveness? And that's something we can help you with right now. We invite you to come forward.